It's Friday the 4th of January. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first Sod Show, Ireland's only garden radio show of 2013.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Reeds drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Oh, I bet you wondered how I do.
From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show, Fridays 3 p.m. right here on Dublin City FM.
Okay, so we've covered this before on The Sod Show, and that is the Hedgerow Society of Ballybuhle, my own hometown in North County Dublin. Surprising to most, if you don't know Ireland, in fact, let's go a little bit more micro. If you don't know Dublin, just outside Dublin Airport, there's a town called Swords. Take a pinpoint between Swords and Ashburn on your map and go that distance, the middle distance of that, forward in a kind of a triangle, and you'll end up in a wee small town called Ballybuhle. It's a bit like Gemmerdale Farm, but with less things. And what is hugely surprising is that next to, you might say, normality or shops and shopping centres and cinemas and all of this kind of thing, is nothing but absolute farmland. Where we're walking today, and who is in my company, is a lady by the name of Anne Lynch. Anne, how are you? Been a while and good to see you again.
Great, Peter. It's such a beautiful day, and the sun is shining, and we can see sort of even the Wicklow Mountains here in the distance, and we're just so thrilled to be out on a walk. I mean, what else could you be doing on a beautiful Sunday afternoon? And the great thing about us is we don't go on the roads. No, we go across country, exploring the secret depths of the countryside, in on private land, with permission, where nobody else can go.
Some people play badminton, some do athletics, some go and join a gymnasium. When you're asked what you do for extracurricular, I suppose, activities, and you tell people you're involved or you manage or run a hedgerow society, what's their reaction? Is it a bit, what? Are you a bit nuts? Are you a bit eccentric? Are you off your rocker? Are you trolleyed? What, you know?
Well, maybe they think I'm a little bit eccentric, but they think it's quite historical. But when they come along, though, they're always then become very enthusiastic, you know, and they become, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Converted. They become hedgies. They become converted to the cause once they go on a walk.
I've described the Hedgerow Society as the Dead Poets Society for gardeners. What do you think about that?
I think so. I think that's a good description. Carpe diem, yeah. Seize the day.
Very much one of them. The land we're walking across, to me as it stands at this moment in time, or for the non-hedgies who have never been here before, it's very much an overgrown field. You know it to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's a 13th century, well actually 12th century nunnery. There were nuns from Arroise in France, and they were brought here by John Comyn, who was the Bishop of Dublin in the 12th century. They first were in Lusk, and then they moved here, and they ran a school for young ladies, the Young Ladies of the Pale. But that was suppressed during the Reformation of the 1500s. And it's a very mysterious ruin, you know. And I don't know, I just kind of feel the spirit of these nuns when I'm walking around here. And we're just going to look at a gravestone now, actually. There's actually two gravestones, and we're going to see a beautiful arch of the nunnery.
It's the kind of thing that really isn't on the historic trails when you, let's say you've never been to Ireland before. It's a bit like knowing where to go for the real trad Irish session as versus what is very well advertised. Is that a fair synopsis way of saying it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's like doing the typical tourist route or trying to see the real, you know, the real Ireland. And this is a very sort of genuine experience. And you meet very interesting people and you learn loads too about the landscape in which we live every day. And, you know, they say the more you know about the environment, the more you appreciate it. And it's really, we're going to have a fantastic walk this afternoon.
One of the things, and I've obviously been here many times before, is the point where nature is winning in the war against what was the building that existed in its finest element here, and ivy and trees and weed trees that have been, you know, just germinated here. They're kind of going to they're going to win that battle against what is a ruin at this moment in time. Is there a bit where, you know, you might say intervention should come along in the form of a big bag of cash and bring it back to its former glory? Or is it a case of, no, just leave it as is? Is there a bit in your heart that's torn on the, between the two lovers, so to speak?
Well, I think that the bridges, there actually are about four medieval bridges around here, and I think that we really have to do something to conserve those. But unfortunately, the Heritage Council at the moment, they're just waiting for the budget to see if they'll get funding. But if they do get some funding, we will be looking for an architectural grant to try and assess the four bridges here and to see if they could be, they really should be conserved, those bridges. One of them actually is a gully bridge, which took the overflow from the mill, because this place was very important up until the 1930s as a milling centre, and all the farmers in Lusk particularly used to bring their bags of oats, wheat and barley here to the mill at Grace Dew, Tavern Mill. They'd drop it off one day and the next day, up until the 1930s now, they'd collect their produce all milled. So that's the Grace Dew Mill, which is also of very great importance.
Is there a meaning to the name Grace Dew, spelt G-R-A-C-E, separate word D-I-E-U?
Well, it's the grace of God, and that was the name that John Cumyon, when he founded the nunnery here in the 12th century, that was the name that the nuns chose, you know, from their original. Maybe it's a name that comes to from their original nunnery in Aroise in France.
In the distance background, well, just below my knee height, is wee young Ella Donegan, who also partakes in these hedgerow walks, well wrapped up, lunch pack on my back, and all of the wholesome goodness that is being picked from the back garden. We're going to go see how this walk goes, and we'll chat later. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks very much, Peter.
I had Ella in my arms, I won't say for about the last 2 hours, but I think when you're going cross terrain where cows have been grazing and up one side of a ditch and down the other, it's fair to say that Ella's legs were, God bless her, all 1.5 foot tall of her, were probably, definitely, in fact, exercised that little bit more than was necessary. And you can gather that I'm mildly out of breath. That's only because, as I said to you, 2.5 mile cycle down to the village of Ballybohol. Then another, I think, about 2.5 mile cycle across to start point location. Probably trekked about 6-7 miles. No, I didn't make a 2.5-year-old child walk all of that. I carried her in my arms. Babies do weigh a little bit, I have come to realise. They weigh a little bit more so than, I suppose, after about the 3rd mile, and you've got a rucksack on your back full of every single piece of baby paraphernalia that you can carry. But the funny thing is, and it goes back to that line, that cliche of there's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothing. All of the gear that I had noted prior to on my own blog, that I use when I'm camping, that I've used when we did the wild camping thing, down to the gaiters that go across my boots. I had no Wellingtons. It's probably fair to say it was one of the wiser investments I've made in my life as regards having the right clothing and feeling comfortable and deciding you want a drink of water, and it might be just the SIG water bottle. Who knows? Beautiful points en route was just as we finished and we spotted a kite. There was a mink spotted as well. A couple of badgers, rabbit holes you would have heard across the way. We found fuchsias, not the stereotypical red, vigorous fuchsia that grows sometimes in the wilds. More a kind of a pink flowering one. There was hogweeds in flower. It's amazing how obnoxious things can look sometimes so pretty. It's wonderful. And it's one of the things that, with all of the horticultural letters after my name, yeah, I understand and I hear you, but there is a point where the Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin, home to Dr. Matthew Jebb, has got a place in my heart and in my mind. But equally, there's that bit when you take everything out of context and you throw the horticulturalist, the botanist, into the middle of the wilds, the wilderness, and you spin him around seven times and then send him on his way and go, yeah, now play a game of plant identification. Now explain to me why that land is filled with rushes and why that piece of land right next to it, like 4 metres away, is entirely free draining. And that comes down to the history, and it comes down to the reason why I love the Hedgerow Society so much. Because what you actually find when you get into it is some body like Anne Lynch is going to turn around and tell you, well, here you used to lay the ruins of. And what you realise is there is the equivalent of one big huge bed of concrete, and that after centuries and centuries. I mean, bear in mind, some of it is 13th and some of it is 15th century. That's over 500, 600, 700 years old. And leaves and trees and twigs and eventually like grass growing in your gutters and you neglecting it has built up on top of it. And somewhere in between all of that, the rushes decided to seed themselves in, and obviously had a better success in that field than in the one next to it. The links, notes, one or two images that I took along the way will be up on the show notes over on sodshow.com. If you can get to one. In 2013, the Hedgerow Society is highly recommended. More than anything, it's a combination of genuine, good-hearted people meets the great, the wonderful outdoors. It's like having a reunion for the Galty Moor in Cricklewood. Just magnificent. And I think that either fills your heart and makes you want to go and see it again. We'll be right back.
Grave we saw, that was for Thomasina White, who died in 1506. And by the way, all this, I'm using the thesis here of Jacinta White, who's a local woman who did wrote a thesis on Grace Jew. And then we're just going to have a look now at the second gravestone. And okay, so the second one now, which is really beautiful, and Damien here has just actually cleaned it up. And it reads, Hic jacet Johannes Hurley, cuius anime propitur dominus. Here lies John Hurley, may his soul rest in peace. And I would say it's probably from about the, I'd say, 15th century. So that's two significant gravestones we have here from medieval times. And now we're just looking at the beautiful archway here, which probably, by the way, local people call this the church. They don't say the nunnery, no, they say the church. So we're standing now in the original church. And in those times, the most important people, for example, abbess, they wanted to be buried near the east window. We're right here at the old east window. That was the most important part. That was the chancel. So we're in the chancel right now. And the little door we see probably led into the sacristy, which is where the priest would have changed into his vestments for the mass.
Why the east window, Anne?
Oh, the east window, you see, people, because the sun rises in the east and people were always buried facing the east so that on the last day they would arise up with God. It's a bit like facing Mecca.
Excellent. To take a mild, different look at this, you should see the stonework that is here existing. And it's amazing to think that how old it is and what it's battling against, which is, I suppose, decades and centuries of nature having a go. I know buildings that are 30, 40 years old that haven't stood this test of time in a shorter distance, if that makes sense. We'll get on with our walk. More than that, the scenery here is absolutely... One of the things that is absolutely beautiful, so relaxing, is the sound of water in the background. I'm not joking you here. It is one of the places you would maybe come and write poetry. Yeah, we're back to that Dead Poet Society thing again. The funny thing is, come on baby, hold my hand. The funny thing is if you look at the land where we are and you see the rushes, and I know two seasons ago, with the frost that we had, it was so hard to get your hands on rushes. But it's a great sign of land that you shouldn't buy. Developers of yesteryear, take note. Because when you think about it, rushes really only grow where... Oh, climbing under a rope. Or trying to. Good girl. Rushes only really grow where the land is absolutely sodden. And this place is just littered with them. It was one of the things, funnily enough, I remember being told when I started horticultural college. Sorry, come on, lift you up. Because I think one of the things they were trying to get us to understand as newbies to, how would you say it, horticulture, as versus gardening, and I don't mean that in any disrespectful term or tone, but it was this whole thing of, you know, not so much I don't have measuring tape, therefore I can't measure your land, or because I don't have measuring tape, I can't figure out the height of your tree. I mean, you can do that with a pen and by sight, if that makes sense to you, and yes, you can. But it's that understanding, that knowing by sight, that by I can't walk into the field. Are you singing a song? It's that knowing by sight and then investigating afterwards, but making a conscious decision that sometimes the calculator is wrong. Are you singing a song for everybody?
No.
Say hello? No, we just talk. We just look at the microphone then. But yes, there are things I do in the great outdoors that sometimes nobody understands. And it just seemed to make sense. Let it go, baby. One of the things that we've spotted along here is there's rabbit holes, and there's a wee little horse in the next field, but it's the untouched nature. I hear of foraging groups going out and taking the sloes or the damsons or whatever the case may be, but one of the things I make is rosehip syrup. Which, if you go back to God Almighty, the Ministry of Food days. Now, I know Jamie Oliver came out with a Ministry of Food book. It's nothing to do with that. This goes back to the old world wars. And rose hips contain 40 times more vitamin C than your ordinary orange. So if you're looking for a bam, needle straight through to the heart, that is pure and utter vitamin C than rosehip syrup is it. They do sell it in the Boots chemists and all of those types of places, but it's a little bit better homemade, and there's an abundance here. We're the only person, human thing, that gets to take it is me or one of the people in my company who know where the Dead Poets Society hangout is, or the wildlife. Careful, Ella, stay with Dad. The big thing about this, and we touched on it a while ago, is when you get that bit where you're wrapped up warm and you have your food and you have your... There's no such thing as bad weather, just wrong clothing. When you have that in your psyche and you get outside and you do this hour and a half of cross-country walking and unearthing and intrigue and childlike, you know, when you used to climb trees for no apparent reason. I mean, if you try to figure out the functioning, the mentality behind climbing a tree, it's a pointless exercise if you really wish to analyse it. But you get home and you have a bowl of soup this evening, and it is just great to be outside. You should try to do this in the worst rainfall weather before. It kind of reminds me of the time we did the overnight camping in the Wicklow Mountains without tents, just sleeping bags. And at 10:30 at night, a wee little bottle of whiskey came out just to warm the cockles. Not session. You wouldn't want to do a session at minus 30, minus 40 wind chill factor and minus 3 overnight. That wasn't the case of it. Stunningly beautiful, untouched, unkempt. Yeah. This, I have to say, is one of the most serenest, beautiful, unkempt, ugly, not... Oh, Ella, sorry, by my side. Not St. Stephen's Green parts of Ireland. I don't mean that disrespectfully to any park, but it's not maintained. It's been not entirely neglected because it's been kept a farmland. But when you look at the old skiock hedges, the old hawthorns, the old hedgerows, the old boundaries, the ditches, the drains that are hundreds and hundreds of years old, and you look at the overall landscape that has never been touched at all, the layout of the land. Part of you wants to reenact that Bord Bia advert. And the rain! There's an element of being Irish about it and seeing what our ancestors did. Our heritage. The walls. if you heard the show that we did from the island of Inishmore, you see the stonework there. It's like that, except not as neat. And the reason it's not as neat is because it's man fighting brambles and ground elder and hawthorns and skiok and hedges and storms, and in the distance I see cows. I see silhouettes of trees. I see land that is being farmed. I see land that isn't being farmed. And it is stunning. Absolutely stunningly simple and native, and it doesn't get onto the tourist trail. And part of me, to an extent, is kind of glad. And that draws to a close Sideshow number 1 of 2013. In fact, it is show 97 for the Sideshow, just 3 away from Sideshow 100. What a celebration that may prove to be. Thanks to you so much at home for listening, be it in podcast, on a bus, or be it live on radio while you're driving through the streets of Dublin City Centre. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. To our sponsors, greensax.ie, thank you once again. Looking forward to another 51 shows, 52 shows, holding your hand, or you holding ours. As by the way, the Hedgerow Society of Ballybottle has its first meet of 2013 this Sunday, the 6th of January at 1 p.m. You'll find all of the details up on sodshow.com. And if you're stuck, in the meantime, you can always hit us up and let us know your feedback at Sodshow on Twitter, or facebook.com/thesodshow. Ladies and gentlemen, for me, Peter Donegan, and from Niall O'Keefe, who has not been with us this week, he's on a wee sabbatical. We'll talk to you this time next Friday. Take care, and whatever you do in the great outdoors, do enjoy.